You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
So I've spoken to multiple people in the organization about this tonight, and what I've been told is that they are not concerned about this knee injury to Drake May. He was a full participant in practice today. We'll be out there tomorrow. We'll be able to watch him closely, see how he's moving through warm-ups, through individual drills, et cetera, et cetera. What I can tell you is they're not concerned that he is still expected to be playing this coming weekend out in London. And again, we'll see what practice looks like tomorrow. I know Gerard Mayo's talked about transparency at the podium today, but it feels like they're closing ranks on this one to a degree, and so we'll just have to see what it looks like tomorrow with him.
The Afternoon Show with Christian Arcan and Andy Hart starts now on WEEI.
Hello, hey, hi, how are you? Welcome in. It's WEEI Afternoons. Christian Arcan, Andy Hart. Nice to be back. Sorry, I couldn't answer the bell yesterday, but I'm doing better now. Not 100%, but well enough to come in and speak for 4 hours. Did you miss me, Andy?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
It's tough sitting in this seat, isn't it?
Not really.
Yeah, it's not really.
It's not really that hard. I actually kind of enjoyed it.
He went on a whole rant at the end of the show about how easy it was.
How easy it was,
yes,
to do this?
The only thing that sucked was the call screener that I, A, couldn't pop people up. Then I locked people on the air.
Hung up on a few people.
Had a few issues with the mouse over there, but
it's a lot to keep track of. But honestly, you're right; it's not that hard. You just sit here and you come in and out of the breaks, and you ask people questions, and you do what you do anyway. But we
did miss you for the Schefter interview. He was either off his game or we were off our game getting him to answer because he was all over the map, very weirdly.
I heard him shoot down your T. Higgins idea.
Yeah, and then
which is what I'd been doing. So
and
I
then
think
he kept. Yeah, but he's knowledgeable and smart.
Right. He agreed with me. So
did you hear the part where he just kept saying, "And then Carolina"? Yeah, Carolina.
Oh, when he was thinking of the other wide
receivers. Carolina.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he goes, "Wait, what'd you ask?" I was like, "What?"
And I was trying to think. I'm like, "Which Carolina receiver is he going to say?
That's
is he
going to
say Thielen
thinking.
Or Deontay Johnson or one of those guys?"
I'd take a shot at Leggett, Xavier Leggett.
I would too.
The
he's a rookie. I don't think they'll trade him. But like, I was thinking about those other two guys, and I'm like, "Are they much better than what you have right now?"
You know what it felt like? He had literally just gotten a text or a phone call from somebody tied in with Carolina that's like, "Yeah, we're probably going to be looking to move some wide receivers," and that was just like popped into his head, whether it made sense or not, whether it fit the Patriots or not. And it was, he also rattled off the Bengals schedule like it was top of head. He's like, "Yeah, next week they go here." He read them off like
I
he was Francesa
well.
Reading a freaking bowl game or something. And I don't know if he was prepped for TV or pulled it up quick. It was one of the stranger interviews we've had with Schefter.
Yeah, sorry I missed it. Sorry I wasn't there to keep things focused.
I was lost without you.
And
it was just
and
me
on
and
track.
Fitzy.
We'll see if we can do a better job with that today as we talk to Tom E. Kern. That's coming your way at 3:30. Lots to discuss with him. I didn't get a chance yesterday to discuss the Barmore situation, which I believe we have a slight update on today. So we'll get to that in just a minute. But I want to begin here with what we just heard from Phil Perry last night on NBC Sports Boston, and that is the Drake May knee gate, which started with Ben Volen yesterday in his report that he was told that Drake May underwent an MRI at some point. I forget what it said in the tweet that it was the day before yesterday, I guess, that happened, and there wasn't any follow-up. Volen didn't follow up with it this morning. There wasn't any confirmation or other reporters saying, "Yes, I'm also hearing that Drake May had an MRI." Perry just then said that the team did not deny it, which I think is a win for Volen, if he's a guy who probably needs one right now. So we'll see what actually happens if they come out and issue more of a statement than that or not. It's interesting because if you remember last year in Germany, you remember Mac Jones took a big hit, and then after the game, he was getting looked at by some German doctor or something, and then he denied that he was dealing with an injury, that he had to rehab any kind of injury or anything after that, and then he was benched and he didn't start again. So that was just sort of an interesting timing, I would say, as the Patriots head off to London this weekend to take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Drake May, it seems like, according to all reports, is not going to be held out of the game or be limited in the game in any way. No one has reported anything like that. So where do we stand now on this May injury? and are the bubble wrappers, as I like to call them, the people who think it was a terrible idea to start Drake May and that they should put him in bubble wrap all week long, like that guy on Twitter last night was tweeting at us, which was Stiz, actually. No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't Stiz, but it was someone that Stiz kind of agreed with. Did you notice that in the Twitter thread?
Oh, no.
Stiz was like, you know, I wasn't sure either, but
I
now
wasn't.
I think it's okay. Like, you were on team, you were a bubble wrapper
et
for some time.
Stiz A?
Yes. Yeah, because I felt like you guys were chomping at the bit to get this guy in here, and I think a lot of other people felt like, well, what if, you know, long term it does more damage than it does good. And I think, like we've talked about before, we all have like PTSD from the Mac Jones thing.
We do.
He's not the same guy. Totally different guy. And that's where I'll differentiate here. And the biggest concern I have with this isn't Drake May's knee. That's weird. And you're like, wait, if he has a knee MRI, wouldn't you be worried about his knee?
Yes.
No, because I think he's fine. I don't know. He's got swelling from afar. He's got a limp on the practice field. Whatever. That's going to happen. I've seen all these guys deal with these things. My concern would be, why'd he get an MRI? Did he ask for one?
Hmm.
Is he... Because we've had issues here with two quarterbacks.
Yes.
Mac Jones was weird about injuries and defensive. Now, different culture under Bill Belichick, and he went through the whole thing with the ankle. That was an issue.
Right.
And that.
And May might be like that, too. We don't know. No one's asked him about it yet. So
nope.
We'll see what happens when he's at the podium talking about it, because he will get asked, and we'll see what he reacts like.
Or how about Jimmy Garoppolo, who was branded kind of a...
Yeah.
When he was here.
Kind of a cheese Danish, if you
will. Yeah. And the whole thing where Brissett had to start and they respect it, blah, 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 blah. That story. That's what concerns me. Not the structure of the knee. Because just superficially, if he has an issue and I'm the team, I'd probably get it checked too. Just make sure you don't do any long-term. Like Stiz just said, I don't think there's long-term damage from him playing whatever. But you don't want to misdiagnose something or go down some weird road there.
Right.
But is he the one that was like, hey, can I get an MRI? Like, are we going down some weird, the May family and the Patriots issue a joint statement on the reason for the MRI?
You said he was like Gronkowski, right?
And they
did that a bunch.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So that would worry me if 1 week into his tenure as the starting quarterback of the New England Patriots, we're already, and a Bill's gone, so maybe it'll play differently because it's Mayo, but the medical staff, I mean, at least the trainers and the people I see are the same. There's a lot of the same people behind the scenes there. And that would, and I'm a Drake May guy, but I don't want to find out he's soft like butter. I want to find out this was like the team was like, let's, in an abundance of caution, we're going to get you an MRI. Because if I find out he asked for an MRI, I might be off the Drake May train.
Sure, and you'd have every right to be. I think that is something that would be a big red flag. Now, as you were saying that, it got me thinking about the whole decision to start him in the first place, right? That wasn't a unanimous decision. There were people on the other side. There were dissenters in that decision who wanted to keep Brissett in. Maybe they asked for the MRI. You know, maybe this is their way of if they.
Do you mean Alex Van Pelt?
In an under or Elliot Wolf or either want both of them together. Maybe they meet up and had a little secret alliance. I don't
know.
Couldn't
he say, what do I need an MRI for?
I suppose he could.
My knee hurts a little bit. I've played high school football and college football. Generally, after you play a game, sometimes something doesn't feel great. I'm fine with it. The old, are you hurt? Are you injured? I watched Hernandez this week, and Bill goes, we need to get you from injured to just hurt in 4 weeks, Aaron. Right? That's the old school cliche Hardo thing.
Right.
Drake May could do that. I'm not getting no MRI. There's no reason for an MRI. Even if Elliot Wolf asks for an MRI, I get a game to play. I'm going back to my office to get ready for a game or my locker.
He's a rookie. He's a young rookie, and his coach or his general manager tells him, we want you to get an MRI, he gets an MRI. I mean, that's sort of what I think. He doesn't seem like someone who's going to defy authority like that this early in his career, but maybe. Karen Garigian said 2 hours ago that Drake May walked through the locker room moving just fine. There was no wraps on either knee. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe there's something to this. I think that it's either one of those scenarios is likely. Either that May asked for it himself, or that the dissenting voices from the whole decision maybe put that in motion themselves and said, hey, you know, I think that he wasn't looking too great and he took a couple of big hits and let's just get him in there and make sure everything's okay. This is our big investment, guys, and that's an easy sort of sell, right? You know, you want to make sure that your big investment, this guy who's the future of your organization, you want to make sure that you're not throwing him out there on a bad knee. Wouldn't that be bad?
Yes, but I'd also like to know, and I don't know this, I should know this after 20 years down there, like how many average MRIs do they have per week? Like, are MRIs like aspirin to them? Like, let's run of the mill. Oh, a guy's got a bad this. Get him an MRI just to make sure. Or is MRI infrequent? I don't know the answer. Because that would be valuable information, right? Like, yeah. Maybe we find out Tom Brady had 472 MRIs while he was here or something, and we just didn't know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the answer to that.
Or so we find out that, like, the Crafts have an MRI machine investment or something, and every time right. they use it, like, they get a little
Well, they did
back.
Have a deal with Shields.
Something like that.
Yeah,
Shields
right.
Shields MRI. It'd be
so.
That, absolutely.
That's also, my guess is it's not as frequent because they have an X-ray machine there. I don't think they have an MRI in the building. I think,
okay.
But they do have a building that I'm assuming right up the hill has an MRI.
Sure.
All those, there's probably multiple MRIs in that various medical complex that's mm-hmm. at Patriot Place. The only concern I have is if Drake May asked for an MRI. Other than that, I don't really have a concern. I mean, obviously I would have a concern if they go, we found two torn ligaments in his knee. Like,
sure.
That would be a concern to me. But other than that, it doesn't really bother me. It's football. He has a ding knee. Okay, we knew he was going to get dinged. I watched the quarterback play for 5 weeks. He got dinged every game. Every game, and he'd come in and
Did
say...
Did he have any MRIs? I mean...
I don't know. Ask Ben Volen.
Okay. I don't remember him reporting that or
also
anyone reporting that Jacoby Brissett had the MRI.
There's also a little
he
undercurrent
was
here
crap kicked out
if
him.
We're going to be totally above board and take in the whole situation.
Okay.
The fact that it's Ben Volen, there's some trepidation people running with
it. It's Ben Volen and nobody else.
Right.
Yeah.
So don't you, like, isn't that interesting?
It is.
Because if he had an MRI.
And it's not like Volen's thing last year with the, I forget what it even was, but he got DM'd by somebody and then ran with the story. I forget exactly what the story even was. But I do know that he's also broken stuff before other people before.
Sure.
It's not like he's batting zero for whatever. Like, I think he was the first one on Josh Gordon when that whole thing happened and, like, other various scoops I just remember him breaking. So, like. You know, that was obviously bad last year, or 2 years ago, whenever it was, but I wouldn't completely write off everything that he
I don't at all.
But when it's just him, when
so,
it's nobody else.
But also because it's him, there's an opportunity for somebody to poach his story. Because there's trepidation,
right.
If somebody could confirm it, and I mean even big picture, Schefter, Rap Sheet, if somebody national or locally, Mike Reese, anyone, if they confirmed it, I think people would kind of almost credit them for breaking it because they're so lukewarm on crediting Ben Volen because of history. So I do think it's interesting that, you know, the cheese stands alone here and he's the cheese and it's the only person reporting it. And then you had the reports from afar, Dr. Chow, which I don't know how much personally you stock you put into stuff like that. Like, he's telling me he sees swelling and limping on the practice field. Okay, do you really? Because Karen Garigian's telling me she sees nothing, basically.
Right, and she's standing next
right
to him
next
in the locker room.
And I trust her.
As opposed to not in the same state or in the same time zone, even, as where this is all happening. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, that's a guy online trying to get people to click on his
It worked.
Videos,
I watched
right?
the video.
Sure,
I clicked.
I'm not saying that's all he's doing. Like, I'm sure he's a well-respected doctor and all, but, like...
He's a doctor.
He's a doctor, and he's putting these videos out, and he wants people to click on it. I don't know. Like, we want people to listen to our show. We say things like he may not. He may just be going by the idea of, okay, if Drake May has something going on with his knee here, this is what it might be. And it was just a little more forceful than that. So
and
that, you know, that brought
detailed.
Up some questions.
I mean,
too.
He says it's the back knee, the drive knee. It could affect his throwing. He did say he fully expects him to play. Like, there was some professional detail there that I'm assuming he knows to be true and believes to be true. I don't think he's just saying, because if he loses credibility, then no one's going to click on his videos.
Right.
He's already in a weird area where people aren't sure what to make of him as it is, even though everybody seems to read him and watch him and put a little stock into his value.
There's a couple of, like, Twitter doctors like that. You know what I mean? There's a couple other ones who I remember just tweeting about random injuries.
And it's really no different than it used to be in the printed days. You would get a quote from a doctor who goes, though I've not seen the patient,
yes,
I have experience with similar issues.
This
and then
rehab
they,
takes this
right,
long in general.
They give
and
you the
right,
rundown. Because
yeah, sort of
we're all looking for medical sources, because as Bill famously would say, I'm not a doctor, so
right.
I can't tell you. I would say this. I don't have any fear about the Patriots not having Drake May on Sunday. I don't have any fear of him struggling because of the knee. Like, maybe that'll be an easy out if he throws a couple picks and doesn't look as good. Or there's really no fear for me. If Drake May fall on his face, But I think that might just be because it's his second week as an NFL quarterback in a weird situation.
That and the fact that it's in England and it's on that field. And, you know, I just feel like whenever they play out of the country, even sometimes in the country, there's a couple of, you know, stateside fields that I think aren't great on people's knees. But when they go to Brazil or when they go to Germany or when they go to London or whatever it is, I always worry about that. Not just for Drake May, but for the entire team. Like, it just seems like those type of injuries happen more often than they do when they're playing domestically. So we'll see. And I don't think that's going to play into how much May plays. If he plays, he's going to start, barring some sort of very, very bad news. Because let's be honest here. If he doesn't make this start, if somehow by the end of the week he's on the injury report or he's doubtful or they rule him out,
it's over.
I mean, right?
Feels like it. But I mean, I know that's dramatic.
The bubble wrappers are going to be doing backflips, I'll tell you that.
So, the 978 said, are you actually calling him a wimp because you think he asked for an MRI? Question mark. What an idiotic take. 2 question marks? So, are you saying it's an idiotic take, or are you questioning whether that would be an idiotic take?
I think they're saying, what an idiotic take.
Question
but
mark?
But the wrong punctuation. I think they are calling it an idiotic take.
It may be an idiotic take, and I may be an idiot, but I'm just telling you how I feel. I feel like we would be going down some sort of Jimmy, because you all you people
unless
out there.
Unless he really needed one, and he's really banged up. I mean, there's that, too. I mean,
yeah, but if he needed one, who told him he needed one? If Jim Whalen, the trainer, said, well, you got to get an MRI.
Right.
100%. I'm fine with it. Now, that's my best option. He sees something and he goes, let's just be in cautious and we'll get an MRI.
Yeah.
Jim Whalen asks for it. Team doctor asks for it. I'm fine. Elliot Wolf asks for it. I don't like that either. I'll put that in the same category. That's a problem for me if Alex Van Pelt and Elliot Wolf ask for an MRI. And then if Drake May asks for it, that has a little weird, he doesn't trust the medical staff. If Jim Whalen didn't ask for it, then why do you need an MRI? He's the expert.
Mm-hmm.
And I know players, you got to be your own advocate, and they tell you to take care of yourself and ask for second opinions.
Right.
But I don't know. I just think that would be going down a road for the first time. Be the first time I didn't like something that Drake May did.
As many of you probably already know, Drake May did show up on the injury report for Wednesday. It was knee was what was listed, but he was still a full participant. So we'll let you know. If there's any update there, if the team releases anything, they're going to England today. I don't know what time the flight leaves, but I know that it's sometime today. And they'll be heading over there across the pond to play the Jacksonville Jaguars very, very early on Sunday. Are you doing the show on Sunday, by the way? Like, we're on 7 to 9:30.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. It's only two and a half hours.
9 o'clock?
So you might have to be, you might have to be the closer.
Okay.
You might have to come in and
that's fine. I mean, I
got to
watch the game, so it's not like I'll be, and I don't sleep in. I'm up by 7, so yeah, whatever.
I usually am too, but I don't know.
The good news is, well, for you, the good news is the game's done at 12:30. You got the whole day in front of you.
That's true.
Did your wife already schedule something?
No, nothing's been scheduled.
Okay. And for me, I mean, I got
to
do
post-game. Probably going to have to be cleaning the acorns out of my yard, I think.
You're still cleaning acorns?
There's still acorns.
I'm telling you, you missed the boat by not going my idea. Just dump like 12 squirrels in there and just let them go to town.
There's lots of squirrels in my yard.
Well, you need more. It's not enough. If there's still acorns, you need more squirrels.
It's true, but the acorns keep falling. It's like the mail. It never stops, you know? Just constant dumping of acorns.
Then you need a big tree shaker.
Mm.
Right?
I don't know what that means.
Shake the tree.
So shake the tree with what's a tree shake? What are you talking about?
Oh, you've never seen those videos, those big machines in the forestry industries?
I have not
seen
these
videos.
They
can shake the hell out of that tree
for
you.
And they'll just shake all the acorns.
Now, I don't know where you would get one of those in this area.
Amazon.
Never heard of such a thing. On Amazon is where I got my little acorn picker-upper. I roll it around.
Is it the Nut Wizard?
I think that's what it's called. It's something like that.
I'm familiar.
It's pretty good. And I've wheelbarrows full of acorns, and I dump them out in the backyard, and it's just this never-ending barrage of acorns on my deck, on the grill, on the roof, everywhere. It's unbearable.
And there are a lot, because I've noticed more, and maybe it's because I was thinking of you driving in my area, there's some rural country roads where boom, boom, acorns are like hitting your windshield, hitting your hood. So I do think it's a...
it's like a horror movie.
And what did we hear? It means cold winter?
I forget. I don't know.
I think it means cold winter coming.
Yeah,
cold,
probably.
Snowy winter.
Great. We could use one. And the ski resorts around here could certainly use one, too. Anyway, 617-779-7937 is your phone number. We're off and running here on a Tom E. Curran Thursday. We'll talk to him in about an hour. We'll take your phone calls on the Drake May injury, ? And there's a bunch of Patriot stuff from yesterday, including Jalen Polk and Christian Barmore that I didn't get a chance to react to, so we'll go through all of that right after Stiz tells you what's trending.
No, we're going to get Jackson.
Right after Jackson does
what's trending. For Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Arkan, you need a tree shaker. I'll get you one by 4 o'clock this afternoon.
Okay? That's my guy right there.
All right. The Boston Bruins got the 5-3 win over the Avalanche in Colorado last night. The Bees got goals from Koepke, Coyle, Pastrnak, Lindholm, and an empty netter from Beecher. Korpisalo got the start in net and made 22 saves on 25 shots. Up next for the Bruins, they will be in Utah to play the Utah Hockey Club on Saturday night. Yesterday's Patriots practice, Marcus Jones, Darian Lowe, and Ramondre Stevenson did not participate, but seven other players were limited. Quarterback Drake May was on the injury report, but he was a full participant. The Pats will return to practice field. They return to the practice field today, and after today's practice, they will head to London for the game with the Jags. Week 7 of the NFL schedule begins tonight when the Broncos travel to New Orleans to play the Saints. Kickoff is at 8:15. You can hear the call of the game on WEEI AM 850 Westwood One's coverage. Begins at 7:30. Also tonight, the BC College Eagles take on Virginia Tech. Kickoff from Lane Stadium is at 7:30. You can catch that game right here on WEEI.
Hey, Jackson?
Yes?
Did you fish that out of a dumpster?
Yes.
What happened? What happened with your trending? Did someone crumple it up and throw it away, or did you throw it away?
Somebody crumpled up and threw it away, and another man's trash, and someone, you know, the next guy that does trending's treasure.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, just wondering.
Shout out to Billy Lanning. The NLCS last night, the Dodgers took a 2-1 series lead over the Mets with their 8-0 victory. Tonight, game 3 of the ALCS between the Yankees and Guardians. The Yankees have a 2-0 series lead. First pitch from Cleveland is at 5:08, and game 4 between the Dodgers and Mets will begin at 8:08. That is what's trending. I am Jackson Burns. That's what's trending on WEI and WEI.com.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Gerard Mayo talking about his rookie wide receiver, Jalen Polk, who was drafted in the second round. It's WEEI Afternoons, Christian Arkan, Andy Hart. I know you guys talked about this a bit yesterday. Interesting comments there.
Yep.
From Gerard Mayo, who had no problem airing his rookie out in a way that Belichick rarely ever did. And that's something that I think was in that, you know, you notice those the differences.
Oh, I'd say never.
He never would get like that about his own players. He barely talked like opponents.
Right.
Except for the occasion, like Freddie Mitchell, I remember he ripped one time and was like, Freddie Mitchell stinks or whatever. Remember that? Like before the Super Bowl?
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, I want to thank my hands. And he's like, yeah, that guy's terrible. He stinks.
Yeah, no. And even when his own players, as close as Bill would get, it would be like, we got to be better.
Right.
Something like that. Something
we all
vague,
have to be
general.
Better. Everybody has to play better. Right. I have to coach better. We have to do
that
everything
starts
better.
With
right,
me,
yeah.
But that certainly includes the receivers. Like,
he would
he
not
might,
single people out.
No,
yeah.
And when I listened to that, it's probably the fourth or fifth time I heard it. It was kind of worse. It reminded me, I don't know how your wife is or women in your life, but when I tell my wife
they're
to,
all great, honey.
Well, when I tell my wife to relax, uh-huh. It does the opposite of working.
Right.
It generally is like lighter fluid. Don't tell me to relax.
Calm down.
That felt like it resonated with Polk in a similar way because he got kind of defensive about it when he talked about it. And it's probably not like get over the mental hump. Like, what does that mean? It's sort of vague in its way. Like, get over it, kid.
Yeah. Almost implying that he has the yips, maybe a little bit.
But also,
that's a mental hump, isn't it? If you can't like make easy catches, it's what he couldn't do.
Should the young leader of men, people, person, communicator, coach be saying, get over it? That's something Hardo Hart would say. Oh, just get over it and catch the damn ball, right? Or like Bill yeah. Belichick, the old school. That felt like a very, Bear Bryant, some old school coach would get over it.
Right.
Like, I don't have the time to talk about, oh, I can't catch the ball. It, like, we're not having a talk about this. Get over it or get the hell out kind of mentality.
Well, Polk spoke to, was it Karen? Yes, I believe it was. Oh, no, it was Mark Daniels, actually, at Mass Live. And when asked about Mayo's comments, he said, I'm not dealing with any mental problems at all. No mental problems, which is not exactly what Gerard Mayo said, but that's the way he chose to answer the question. When asked about his recent drop passes, Polk said, I believe I have the best hands in the league, so I feel like my drop's not an issue at all. Now, I don't mind the first half of that. I believe I have the best hands in the league. That's a fine thing for a guy to believe. You should believe that. You should, in your mind, think I'm the best player. I'm whatever. Yeah, it's confidence. That's totally fine. So I feel like my drops are not an issue at all. That's not fine. Your drops are an issue. It's like Keon White. Like, you can't, everybody can't just be great all the time, even when they're screwing up. And that's sort of one thing that I don't think is getting through to these younger players is that, like, yeah, you're here and you're going to be here and you're doing whatever you're doing. And in Keon White's case, came on very strong in the first couple of games and has kind of disappeared since then. Polk was drafted with a second round pick, hasn't done much. He's caught one of the few passing touchdowns that this team's thrown all year, so I guess there's that. But he hasn't really done a whole lot. And for him to say my drops aren't an issue at all in a game that you lost by three scores and you had some key drops in that game, like, that's an unfortunate take on that. That reminded me a lot of Keon White saying, yeah, the penalties don't matter. I'm going to just keep playing the way I play. Like, you have to, those things have to matter.
Absolutely.
They have to matter to you. Dropping the ball has to matter. That has to be an issue. Keon White and the penalties has to be an issue. These guys have to understand that.
It's defensive and dismissive.
Right.
And it's not productive in any way. I'm okay, like you said. If he wants to say, I think I have the best hands in the league, great. Confidence, you got to have that. Oh, Eli's elite, the whole thing. Like, you corners, quarterbacks, receivers, you all need to believe you're the best and you're special. But to say, I actually think if you actually believe you have the best hands in the league, then you say something to the effect of, which is why I don't think it'll continue, but it's obviously something I need to fix. I can't allow it to continue. Something like that. And, I mean, they have a guy in the building, which I still don't know really what he does. And it's not Ben McAdoo, because I say that about Ben McAdoo a lot. But Troy Brown. Remember Troy Brown said, if it hits me in the hands, I got to catch it.
Right.
Like, that's the mentality that you should have, I feel like, as a receiver. And this isn't the first time Jalen Polk has said things that have rubbed me the wrong way. In fact, I've grown quite annoyed with Jalen Polk.
The preseason, if you're not with us now, then don't be with us later thing? Yeah.
Who the F does he think he is? Like, you're a mediocre second-round pick who most people think the team reached for to take you.
And you also haven't played a game for the team yet, telling the fans not to.
Right.
Right. Like,
who are you?
Yeah, weird.
Do I know you? Who are you, as Kobe would say? So he is high on my list of the threat from Gerard Mayo about lineup changes. I am really rooting for it to be healthy scratch, Jalen Polk, because I think he needs a little comeuppance. I think he needs a little slap on the bum to tell him how we do things around here.
Well, there was also this in the Mark Daniels article. After starting the first game off the bench, Polk was inserted into the starting lineup. After the rough two-game stretch, it remains to be seen if Polk will remain in the starting lineup. When asked if he was eager to prove himself, Polk said that he was, quote, limited, unquote, in what he was able to do on the field. I feel like I'm limited to what I can really do right now, Polk said. I mean, just continue to keep a good mindset,
okay,
and keep getting better. When asked to clarify, Polk responded, I wouldn't say anything specific. I'll just say I'm limited on certain things right now.
So you got nothing. You got nothing. You tried to make it sound fancy and deep and whatever, and you got nothing.
That sounds like a coaching complaint.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm limited in the sense that the coaches are not writing up plays for
play
me
calling
to get me open or to highlight me in the passing game or whatever it is that he thinks not going on here. But when he says I'm limited, I don't think he's talking about his own abilities. I think he's talking about the team limiting his potential and limiting what he could do out there.
I don't know. Did they limit Pop Douglas last week? Did they limit Kayshon Booty? There were definitely questions about limitations earlier in the year. Pop Douglas was one of those popping off about it.
Yep.
I just hope we don't go down a road where the Pop Douglas, he was rewarded. They gave him the ball
after he
bitched about it.
So why wouldn't Jalen Polk see that and do the same thing?
Because it's an incompletion he can't catch.
It's true.
Pop Douglas wasn't having problems dropping the ball. Pop Douglas was having trouble being seen by the guy who's supposed to throw the ball to him. That was an issue. Jalen Polk, I'm thoroughly unimpressed. Mentality, hands, like, I clearly don't see what they saw, and I don't know if they knew what they saw, because I think they wanted Keon Coleman. I think they wanted to go up and get Keon Coleman. They wanted to make a deal, or they wanted Xavier Legette. Like, I think they jumped at the next receiver.
AD Mitchell, I thought, was the next receiver. I thought he was the next guy on everybody's chart. That's what, if you looked at almost all the preseason wide receiver scouting reports, he was the one that came up after all those guys went. So,
but he's maturity, he's red flags kind of guy. So I don't know if they weren't willing to take that risk in the second round. And they felt, because I can tell you, they thought this guy was pro ready on the field, pro ready off the field, good guy. And I'm not seeing it on or off the field. He doesn't seem like a natural leader, worker, professional, and he certainly doesn't seem like a natural receiver who gets open and catches the football. I would say he's limited too. And you know what's limiting him? those hands that he thinks are elite and aren't. Catch the damn ball. Everything would be better if you caught the ball. It's simple.
Yeah, and this is also the problem, and I guess if you think it's a problem, maybe you don't, but for Gerard Mayo to be singling players out, Bill never did that, so you never got responses like this. You never got responses like someone saying, no, I'm not limited, I'm fine, there's no mental problems with me, everything's perfectly fine with me, I got the best hands in the league, I don't know what coach is talking about, because he's going right in the face of what the coach was saying. He's saying, no, the coach is wrong. I'm actually very mentally, I'm all set, and my hands are great, and he doesn't know what he's talking about, and hopefully they figure it out and stop limiting me out there and let me do my thing. Maybe he doesn't start this week. That could be exactly what he needs.
Oh, I think there's no chance he starts. My question is he active?
Is he going to play at all, yeah.
I think, because you have guys, KJ Osborne is active but not playing, and you have Baker and Tyquan Thornton who have been inactive. You have guys that can bump up, because right now, Gerard Mayo made it quite clear. He said it in that press conference after talking about Jalen Polk's hands. He said quite definitively, right now we have Pop Douglas, Kayshon Booty, and Kendrick Bourne. The rest of the guys need to step up. So he sees them as almost second tier interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
So does it matter if it's Polk or if it's Baker? Like you have limited hopes for either guy because you don't think they're ready right now. So give Baker a chance. Maybe Baker got his wake-up call by being inactive and give Polk his wake-up call. So I am definitely on the side of inactive Jalen Polk this week to see if you can salvage what is early on in his career. Thoroughly disappointing.
Yeah.
He certainly doesn't look like a budding number one receiver.
No, he definitely
or two,
doesn't.
Or three or anything.
And these guys ahead of him, DeMario Douglas, sixth round pick. Kayshon Booty, sixth round pick. Kendrick Bourne was, what was Kendrick Bourne? Was he even drafted?
I believe he was a late round pick.
Okay, so wherever he was, I don't think he was a second round pick. Maybe, I shouldn't say this, I have no idea. But that's sort of the point, is that you were touted enough in a good wide receiver draft, too. I don't know if this is going to go down like the N'Keal Harry draft with all those guys who ended up being pro bowlers / all-pro caliber basically right away. But you do have some good guys already in this draft who are playing well to start the year. And I just sort of feel like this is the way it's going in terms of the NFL, in terms of these drafts. Wide receivers are going to get overdrafted. And maybe that did happen here, but still, he was a second-round talent. He was on everybody's second-round draft board, and this has been a bit of a disappointment so far. And there's only one game that he's played with a quarterback who I feel like is even capable of running a competent passing offense. So we'll see if after a few more weeks of this, if he plays, if things start to turn around. But that was definitely not a good start, no question about it. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Quick break. When we return, Christian Barmore. Out a little too late in Providence. We'll get to that with the body cam audio right after this. Probably heard it by now. The partial, it's not the whole thing. And I still haven't seen an entire video of the whole interaction.
No.
So,
but it's out there.
It's the whole thing?
So I've read people that talked about the length of it and how basically whatever the full length is, like 17 minutes of it is really boring, and it's basically like you see the officer writing the ticket,
right,
and it's very calm and sort of relaxed. Like the bulk of the sort of high entertainment value or notable value
was
is
in
kind
the minute
seen,
10
I
seconds
guess.
It's
yeah.
been out there. So that's the thing. And there's only, I only saw two videos. I saw one that was about a minute long, and that was a snippet from that we just played.
Yep.
And then there was another one when they were trying to get him out of the car. It was about 10 seconds long where he's really yelling at. I mean, it's really very combative, belligerent even. And it was not good, I didn't think.
Y'all touch me. Y'all crazy. I ain't
get out of the car.
Y'all touch me.
The mom going, he's on blood thinners. I don't know. I mean, that was pretty funny. But anyway.
Oh, is that what she said? I didn't know what
she
said.
Yeah, she goes, he is on blood thinners.
Oh, that's like, true.
Okay.
Well, blood
still has to get out of the car. In both clips that I saw, in both of the clips that we played, and I, again, have not seen an entire video here, but in those two, he looks like the aggressor, and he escalates the situation. Compare it to the Tyreek Hill video, where I thought, and I, when you watch these things, you look at how the cops behave and you look at how the person in the car behaves, right? And who's being reasonable, who's being unreasonable. I thought those cops in Miami went way over the line. I thought they were kind of out of control. They were throwing him around. They were arresting the teammates who walked over. Like, it was, that is not what you see in these two videos
nope.
at all. The cops, I thought, in those clips were pretty restrained. It's not the whole video, and I wonder what they're leaving out. And you said there's a full one, and the people have seen it and didn't
point to anything like that. Yes.
Barmore came out with his tweet saying there was racism in all of this, and he deleted the tweet. In those clips, in the minute 10 seconds of clips, he looks like the unreasonable one. Well, let me just put it that way.
I think if he had been pulled over by the Florida cops in the Tyreek Hill situation, he would have been face down on the pavement with a knee in the back of his head, cuffed. I think this would have gone really sideways really fast. I actually think, again, as you said, from the video we've seen, the Providence police showed a lot of restraint and did not escalate a situation that felt like it could have escalated very quickly and gone very much sideways.
Gone turbo.
I actually think basically everything he did, the NFL could use as a what not to do.
You're right.
Almost like checkbox by checkbox by checkbox.
And I haven't even gotten to the fact that there was an ashtray with a freshly snuffed blunt in it and a bunch of tubes of weed in there either, which is, again, you know, not the crime of the century, but certainly not something that's okay to do, driving around with a burning blunt that you may or may not have been smoking on, allegedly, or whatever, in the car. The only excuse, the only thing that I could possibly say in that video clip that we just played that gives him any sort of space to not look like the jackass that he kind of looked like, is that he says, I'm from Florida. I don't know what's going on up here. Florida's very laissez-faire about car stuff. You don't even have to get your car inspected in Florida. You don't have to get an inspection sticker in Florida. People drive around Florida. If you've ever driven into Miami before, my wife has friends in Miami. We go and visit them once a year. When you're driving into Miami, there's cars broke down on the side of the road all over the place because no one gets them inspected. The registration tags and stuff like that, there's all these car dealerships where they lease out cars for like a weekend or rent out these fancy cars for a weekend. They all have temporary plates. They're all just sort of, you know, painted on. No one really cares unless there's a big accident or some kind of wacky Florida man crime that gets committed or something. They tend to not be as crazy about it as we are up here. So I do sort of understand that. At the same token, you've been living here 3 years, guy. Learn the laws. Like, what are you doing?
And in no state is that how an adult conducts themselves during a traffic stop.
Correct.
Like, full stop.
And even if it's the whole comparison of Florida to Massachusetts, ask questions. Oh, I didn't know. Like, he comes out with an aggressive, over-the-top, agitated tone, and again, I think he's a perfect example of what not to do. And as Mike Giardi said yesterday when we talked to him, he's not a black man. I'm not a black man. I don't, you know, we'll never pretend to have walked a mile in those shoes by any means. But I just don't know how you can argue that he handled this well. I can't imagine that his agent or Gerard Mayo or anybody from the Patriots would look at this and say, oh, yeah, I see what you mean there. I see what your point of view was. No, you didn't handle it well.
When Tyreek Hill is better behaved than you are in a similar situation, that should be some cause for soul searching, shouldn't it? Like, shouldn't that be something where you're like, wow, I need to really look in the mirror here. I may have been a little out of control that night, which, again, I'm not one of these nanas who's like, oh, you can never go out past 12:30. I don't like it when people are out. First of all, get a driver. You just signed a big contract. Have someone drive you around. What are you out there driving for? That's kind of dumb. But either way.
And it's a work night. Even though you're not on the roster.
He's not working, like, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. That's even worse,
in my opinion. Why? You have the highest guaranteed contract to somebody not named Tom Brady, and it's a Tuesday night into Wednesday morning, and you're out. Like, you don't give a care in the world. You're just, oh, by the way, they don't have to pay you. They chose to pay you. First thing I would do if I wanted to be the Patriots, stop payment on this week's check. You want to be a jackass and be doing things at 1 a.m. in what, according to the text line, I don't know the area, is apparently a very not nice area of Providence, a very shady area where there's
is
really
it the same area where Hartley Dykes got knocked out in 1990 or whatever.
Was that a bad area too?
I don't know. I know Hartley Dykes and Irving Fryer, who were both first round picks, went out together, got in a fight, and Dykes got beat up so bad he never played again.
Yeah. Apparently this area you don't go to for many above board things. Like,
okay.
You don't just happen to be there. So I don't like anything about this. I don't like the
No one knows where he was. No one knows what he was doing.
Yeah,
before
I almost
this,
don't
do they,
care.
Right?
I mean, I guess you're right. He could have left the charity event where he just
he could have gone to the movies. He could have done anything. Like no one.
I don't really want him at the movies. Okay. It's a work day.
You can't go to the movies
at 1 a.m.
Yeah, it's a late movie. I saw Lord of the Rings at midnight once. I fell asleep. Did not know how that movie ended.
Yeah, like, it just feels like he doesn't care that he's not playing for the team right now. That's how I could interpret this. You don't care that you're not playing for the team right now. You're just kind of going off the rails a little bit. Like, you're not part of the team. You're not part of the work environment. To me, you should be focused on trying to get back to work.
Yeah. If this whole thing had gone down, though, the same way, except that Barmore said, oh, sorry, I didn't know. I'll have someone come get me if you got to tow the car. And, you know, it was, didn't have a whole big combative exchange with the police. Then I don't think we'd be scrutinizing it this hard. That's really what made it stand out. That's really sort of what got people's attention, is the fact that he was very combative with the police. I don't think that if he had just sort of said, okay, sorry, my bad, I didn't know about the tags and what you're supposed to do up here. I'll have someone come pick me up, tow the car, I'll go get it tomorrow. And then he left. And his mother, you know, drove him home with the blood thinners or whatever. Then, like, that wouldn't have... I don't think people would be saying, oh, I can't believe this guy, he doesn't care about his job. Like, I don't think that would be the same
Not thing. As much. I would be. Because to me, there's two issues here. How he handled an interaction with the police, which comes on the heels, by the way, of Jevon Baker handling an interaction with the police very poorly, and Gerard Mayo being pissed about it.
Yeah.
Very, very much upset about it.
Baker handled the aftermath of the... of the confrontation poorly.
Sure.
We don't know exactly what happened in the thing, right? Like this.
Oh yeah, but the relationship with the cops, the interaction with the cops.
Yeah.
And again, don't go straight to social media. I would advise, whether you're my kid or you're my client, I wouldn't go straight to social media. Let's have the cooling down period. You know how NFL players don't have to talk for like 15 minutes after the game? There's a cooling down period.
Mm-hmm.
I would have a cooling down period before you go to social media and pop off about your interaction with the police, because that's not a good thing to do. It's going to get a lot of attention. Even if you delete it, in this day and age, it's going to be out there. It's going to be screen captured. So I would have had two issues. The first issue, you're right, could have just gone away quickly. Oh, I didn't know. My bad. Can my mom pick me up? You guys tow the car. Which is exactly what happened.
Right.
His mom picked him up and they towed the car.
He didn't get arrested.
No.
Yeah.
That's, again, where I feel like the cops went about as easy as they could have on the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's the other aspect, as I don't like as a coach the look of my highest paid player, the second highest paid player in the history of the franchise, not named Tom Brady, out in a bad area at 1 a.m. when he can't even play for my team. He's not contributing in any positive way to my team. And now it feels like there's sort of a little bit of a negative tint, no pun intended, tinted windows, to what he's doing. So that would have bothered me. That's why I think it gets into a little bit of a culture question. And what the hell's going on down there? And these young guys that he's supposed to be kind of shaping into men and making good professionals, is that happening? Because it doesn't feel like it is.
Not with everyone, that's for sure. 617-779-7937 is the phone number if you'd like to chime in on any of the various Patriots topics we got to here in this first hour. When we come back, the Bruins scored a win in Denver last night. We'll get to that and react to it next.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.